transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
I'm doing part three of my series, The Principle of Gathering. And today I just decided to do something more fundamental to the concept of gathering. And I'll be covering ground. Some of the things I'll talk about are things that we have already touched on regarding gathering. But I believe that it's important to just get the principles right. And so I've subtitled it, What, Where, When, How, about gathering. And I will consider seven rules that guide our gathering. Many times, you know, God brings us to what we've been praying for. We pray and pray and pray, and God brings it to us. Or we seek and seek and seek, and then we find. We expect and it happens. And sometimes when God brings us to that place, it's for us to gather, for us to harvest, for us to harness, for us to take what he has given to us. And it's always important for us to know the best way to take advantage of the things that we've prayed for. For all you know, the things you are praying for have already happened. For all you know, what you are asking God for, he's already answered. But you have to know how to harvest, how to gather, how to put together the blessing that he has brought you. So I'm going to talk about seven things or seven concepts, seven thoughts that I want to share with you regarding gathering so that when your time of harvest comes, you don't postpone the harvest. You know how to take advantage of it. You know, this is my moment and I am able to go in and pursue or possess it. So the first principle we want to establish is very fundamental to gathering, is that we gather from what we have planted. It is at the root of everything. We reap what we have sown. We gather from what we have planted. So we don't go seeking to gather from something we haven't spent time investing in. So if you want happiness, you have to invest in happiness. You want to be treated well, you have to invest in treating people well. You gather from what you have planted. If you have not planted it, it's going to be difficult to gather it. So for everything we want to reap in life, everything we want to enjoy in life, we have to invest in it. We have to pray for it. We have to make time for it. And we have to invest in it. We gather from what we have planted. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Well, in the immediate context, Jesus is talking about false prophets and how to identify them. And Jesus is saying that you're going to know them by their fruits. But the fruit doesn't appear by itself. The fruit appears from a tree. So there's something that has been implanted, and that which has been planted produces the fruit. So don't just think about what you're seeing, you also think about where it's coming from. And Jesus says, you don't gather from thorns and you don't gather from thistles. Now, if you look at the passage carefully, he talks about thorn bush and thistles. Thorn bush and thistles both produce prickly items, things that pierce us. Whereas grapes and figs nourishes us. So Jesus says, you don't expect to receive nourishment from something that is designed to hurt you. So if the thing is designed to hurt you, if it's a tree that is producing thorns, don't expect nourishment from it. You know, many times in our relationship, we expect people to treat us well who are designed not to treat us well. You just know this person is never going to treat me well, but we still hope that they will treat us well one day. One day they'll be nice people. Get it in your head. Some people are thorn bushes. Some are thistles. They will never produce figs. They will never produce grapes. And when you see a thorn bush, know it's always going to produce thorns. That's what Jesus is saying. Because sometimes we expect things from people who will never give it to us. They don't have the capacity. Some people have no capacity to love you. They don't have the capacity. Love is not there. The tree is not a love tree. It is a pain tree. And if you marry it. So Jesus is saying, in gathering, you're only going to gather from the thing that is designed to produce for you what it is designed to produce. We gather from what we have planted. That's the first principle of gathering. Don't have expectations from people who cannot give you what you are looking for. They are nice people, but they can't give it to you. Some of you want your husband to be romantic. Have you looked at your husband? Have you looked at him? He said, darling. You call him darling, he said, da what? Da what? Is it da qua or darling? What are you talking about? He doesn't have. He's a raw Ghanaian. Raw Ashanti. Raw Ghan. Raw Fanti. Just accept it. This tree will never be romantic. And move on with your life. Love him as it is. So that's the first principle. We gather from what has been planted. Second principle of gathering, we gather when the fruit is ripe. That means there is a due season for reaping what we have sown. That works out both positively and negatively. There is a due season for good things to happen. There's also a due season for the negative to happen. Mark chapter 4, verse 28 to 29. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. Harvest time doesn't happen immediately. Things don't get ready to be harvested immediately. When we make an investment today, we have to wait for it. Sometimes, you know, we all go through, we all have levels of impatience in us. I have it, you have it, you know, and we want things to happen very quickly. We want, I prayed for this last week. I expect this week that it will happen. I gave my first fruit last month. I expect that this month there will be breakthrough. That's not how it works. You don't plant the seed of a tree today and say, oh, it'll be a big tree next week. No, it doesn't work that way. Some trees take 20 years to reach maturation. There is always a time for ripening. And as impatient as we are, you cannot change seasons with your impatience. Things you must wait for, you have to wait for. And then sometimes, you know, we see people do bad things and it looks like they get away with it. There's also a due season for their reward. And don't get so confused by that and say, well, I don't think there's even reward for anything. Look at this guy, he's done this, he gets away with it. They may get away with it 99 times, but there'll be one time when their seed will ripe and it will be gathered. And at that time, you will not wish to be that person because that one gathering can make up for all the 99 times that they got away with it. Don't follow bad people because they seem to get away with it. Because there is a time when the harvest ripes. And until it ripes, we wait. We wait. So positively, wait for your harvest. Negatively, don't be disappointed or discouraged because bad people seem to get on in life. And sometimes it seems so in life that bad people seem to get along. They do the wrong thing and get away with it. But it's going to catch up with them one day. And when it catches up with them, you want to be far away from them because it will be very big when it catches up with them. So there is a seed time. We gather when the fruit is ripe. We don't rush the harvest. Third thought, we gather through hard work and toil. We gather through hard work and toil. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Note, he who gathers by labor. A harvest time or gathering time is a time of labor. It's a time of hard work. Anytime God brings us to a gathering time, it's going to require hard work. It's going to require a lot of labor. It's going to require a lot of hard work for us to reap the things that we are expecting in life. You know, many times we pray and God gives us what we are asking for, and we think because God has given that thing to us, there will be no hard work. For example, you're expecting a marriage partner and you pray and pray and God brings the right woman your way, and you think, oh, God has brought me the right woman, there will be no hard work. But the people God gives to you, they come also with their baggage. And it's going to take hard work to make the relationship work. Don't say because God has brought it to me, there'll be no hard work. There will be hard work. You're going to work hard for the relationship to work. You don't have a child and you pray, oh God, give me a child. Give me a child, and God blesses you with a child. You're going to work hard to take care of the child. You're going to sacrifice so much. The child will make you cry. You're going to stay up in the night breastfeeding, cleaning the child up. When they go to school, they're going to get into trouble. Sometimes they go to school and they'll be last in the class, and you have to get extra work and extra teachers and do homework and inspect them and work hard and work hard and protect them from bad friends and work hard and hard and hard. And when they grow up and they are 18 and you think now they can vote, they know what to do, then you realize, oh, there's another level of hard work coming. Because now they're dealing with drugs and they're dealing with weed and they're dealing with alcohol and they're dealing with boys and girls and they're dealing with pregnancy, and then you have to protect them and start from some friends away from the house. And then when they're in their 20s, you say, oh, finally I can breathe. Now they have to choose a marriage partner, and you see that guy coming in and you know that's the wrong person. But you prayed for a child. And God gave you a child. Did you think you're going to fold your arms and the child will grow by himself or herself? No. Every harvest comes with hard work and toil. You pray and say, God, I need promotion. Promotion comes. That means more responsibility. It means you're going to close late. After all the staff are gone, you have to stay in the office and get stuff done before the next day. You have not much time. But you prayed for promotion. God gave you the promotion. Every gathering requires hard work. If you're not ready to work hard, say, Lord, leave me alone. Don't bless me. I don't want promotion. I don't want favor. Lord, keep me as I am. I am happy. But if you want God's blessing, it comes with hard work. God's favor requires labor. And every time we pray for favor and pray, oh, God, favor me, favor, it means we're going to labor and labor and labor. Fourth thought about gathering. We gather alongside our partners. It's not one man chop all. It's not one woman chop all. Many of the things that God blesses us with are more than we can carry. He gives so much to us that we need other people to help us bring in all that God has blessed us with. Luke chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. Peter had an abundant harvest. A great gathering, a great catch. The net began to break, and he signaled to his partners. Many times God blesses us in a way that other people must participate in our blessing. And when you ask people to come and support you in your gathering, you have to learn to share the rewards with them. For all of you who always ask for help but never reward, You always ask people, oh, Chale, can I help? Chale, you know, come and help me. And then the things work for you, and then you turn your back on the people. If you can let them share in labor with you, they are your partners, you must share the reward with them. If you employ people in your office and they help you to do well in the business, you have to share rewards with them. Doesn't mean you're going to pay them equally, but you have to be mindful that without their help, I wouldn't be where I am, and they must receive reward that expresses the level of the help that they have given to me. When you're married, you gather together as husband and wife. If you're in a business, you gather together with your co-workers. When God opens a big door for you, don't be so selfish that you want to keep it all yourself so you don't tell anybody. You keep it all to yourself. And then you realize you don't have the resources. If you get a very big contract, you may realize your profession is not all that you need. You need other professionals. You need other consultants. You need people to come and help you to do the finances, the financial forecast for you. You need people to come and do some technical work for you. You need people to come and do human resource for you. You need people to come and do all kinds of things for you. If you are a selfish person, God will bless you with so much, but you always destroy it because you want to chop everything all by yourself. And when you want people to work for you, you pay them peanuts. So you're always going to attract low-level performers who don't know how to get the job done. Because there are big corporations or big people with big access, but all the people around them are weak, because they don't want to pay well. When God causes you to gather, you have to be like Peter, signal to your partners. Say, come help us, God has blessed us. Help us to get this job done. We gather alongside our partners.